And we're going through stanza by stanza in Psalm 119. And so we want to continue our study this morning in Psalm 119. I read about a man who started a business. He was a young entrepreneur starting a new business, and in a matter of just a few years, the business grew, prospered, and the young man basically sort of a rags to riches sort of story. Man became very well-to-do, became very prosperous. In fact, because of his multi-million dollar success story, he was soon heralded as a great example for every young entrepreneur to follow. He was lifted up as an example to be admired, an example to be emulated. There came a time when he was interviewed in a certain periodical, and the question was asked, "What is the secret to your success? What do you attribute your success to in your business?" And his answer was this. He said, "My business is my life. My business is my life." In other words, this man was willing to sacrifice everything else. He was willing to sacrifice his health. He was willing to sacrifice his family. He was willing to sacrifice friendships. He was willing to sacrifice his time. He was willing to give up everything for the good of his business, because his business was his life. Business was his life. Now, it's foolish to sacrifice all those things just to make money. It's foolish to sacrifice all of those things just to make money. But a wise man will happily give up those things in order to make God's Word the priority of his life. To make God's Word the priority in his life. Over the past several weeks, we have seen David going through some times of affliction. We've seen him talking about the storms and the trials and the difficulties that he was facing in his life, and things that are common in all of our lives as well. And as he has gone through those difficult times, we have seen over and over how that his focus was constantly directed, not on the circumstances around him, but his focus was directed on the Word of God. And we've seen that time after time. And the reason for that focus we saw very clearly stated in the stanza that we looked at last time. We saw that when David was going through the storms and the trials of life, it was the Word of God he discovered that kept him from being blown away and from being overcome by the circumstances that he was facing in his life. And so if you will remember, we saw last time how that David had determined that the Word of God would be his rock. That would be his rock. Now, we noted two reasons why the Word of God is a rock in which we can safely trust. We saw two reasons why the Word of God is a rock upon which we can safely build our life and all of that. And it was simply because of its permanence. Remember, David said, "Thy word is forever settled." Settled in heaven, also settled on the earth. Thy word is settled. It is permanent. It is set. It is unchanging. Not only because of its permanence, but God's word is a rock in which we can safely trust because, David said, because of its protection. And you remember David went back and he showed how that God's word had protected him in his past, how that it was protecting him in his present, and how that he was absolutely confident that it would continue to protect him in his future. And so the permanence of God's Word, the protection of God's Word. So now we come to the 13th stanza in this psalm. the 13th stanza. And it is no surprise to find that David has fully determined that more than anything else in this world, once again, the Word of God is going to be the focus of his life. It's going to be the focus of his life. Let's notice a couple of things together as we go through. First of all, as you follow along in your notes there, notice David's attitude. David's attitude toward God's Word. As we've already noted, for David, the Word of God was more than a passing interest. The Word of God was more than just a hobby with him. It was more than a curiosity to be examined, to be satisfied, and then to be forgotten. The Word of God was much more than that in the life of David. The Word of God was, in fact, his very life. It was his very life. And because of this attitude that David had toward the Word of God, we find there were two things that were true in his life. Letter A, God's Word was his love. God's Word was his love. Notice in verse number 97, Psalm 119, verse 97, David said, "Oh, how I love thy law." Oh, how I love thy law. The wording here conveys the idea of a love that cannot be measured. It conveys the idea of a love for the Word of God that cannot be have a value placed upon it. It is immeasurable. It is immeasurable. Certainly that agrees with what we saw before. You remember back in verse number 72, David said this. He said, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." In other words, David said, if you put all of the gold, all of the silver over on this side, and on this side you put the Word of God, and you ask me to decide which one is more important in my life, I choose the Word of God. I choose the Word of God. More than silver, more than gold, God's Word is of the greater value. I love God's law. That's what he said. I love God's law. And so we see that God's Word was his love. Not only that, letter B. God's Word was his meditation. Not only did he have a love for the Word of God, but he meditated on the Word of God. Now, I know meditation today has gotten a bad name. You know, most people today, when you talk about meditation, they think of sitting on a circle with your legs tied up in knots, you know, and you sit there with your fingers kind of like this and your eyes closed and you go, you know, that's meditation. No, that's not what David is talking about there. That's not what David's talking about. Verse number 97. He says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." It is my meditation all the day. What does that mean? What does that mean? I think the best way to explain what meditation really is by giving you an example from the farm. An example from the farm. I don't know if you know this or not, but a cow has four stomachs. Now, I've seen people that were big enough, you wondered if they had four stomachs. But anyway, cow has four stomachs. And when a cow is out in the pasture and he's grazing, he's eating grass, he's grazing. The grass that he eats is partly chewed and then it is swallowed and it goes down into chamber number one. Chamber number one. Later on, after chamber number one is full, the cow will then go out and he'll find a nice shady place under a tree or something and he'll lay down and he will actually regurgitate the grass from chamber number one, and he'll begin to chew on it. And he'll just chew and chew and chew and chew until every bit of nutrient that is in that piece of grass has been fully gotten out and absorbed. That's sort of what it means to meditate on God's Word. It means that more than just getting up and taking the Bible reading schedule that we give you each year and encourage you to read through your Bible. And so it means more than just looking, okay, today I have to read this chapter, this chapter, this. And so, okay, let me read real quick here because I've got to go to work okay, I'm done. And then you walk out and totally forget about what you read. In fact, before you even get out the door, if somebody said, hey, what did you just read? I don't know. See, you can't meditate on what you can't remember. All right? Meditation means we read the Word of God, and then through the day, from time to time, we just sort of regurgitate that in our mind. And we chew on it. We think on it. We meditate on it. What did it say? What was God saying to me in that passage of Scripture? What was the command God had for me? What was the instruction God had for me? What was the admonition God had for me? What was the warning God had for me in the passage that I... And we meditate, we think about what we have been reading that day. That's meditation. That's meditation. It's not just a little 5-minute devotional, but it is a thing when that all day long, notice David said it, my meditation, God's Word, it is my meditation all the day. All day long, thinking about God's Word, meditating on God's Word, chewing on it mentally until we get out of it everything that God has for us for that day from that passage of Scripture. Now you'll remember that's exactly what we saw back when we first started this study months ago. Back in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, you remember David was describing the blessed man. The blessed man is the man who is truly happy. And he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, notice it, day and night. In other words, all the day. All the day. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditation. It's a key point. And so David's attitude toward the Word of God, it was his love, it was his meditation. But then I want you to notice a second thing. Number two, David's reward from God's Word. David's reward from God's Word. Because of David's love for the Word of God, and because of his commitment to meditate on the Word of God, there were three rewards that he received in his life. There were three blessings that came to his life as a result of his relationship to the Word of God. Blessing number one, letter A, wisdom. Wisdom. Verse number 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they, talking about God's commandments, that which came before, for they are ever with me. God's Word. David said, because of my love for the Word of God and because I meditate in God's Word, the result is God has rewarded me with a wisdom, and the wisdom that God has given to me is greater than the wisdom of my enemies. Now, David had some smart enemies. He had some enemies who were hounding him. He had some enemies who were seeking to cause him to fall. And they were very clever. They were very smart in their deceptions and in the way they moved and in the way they operated, trying to cause David to stumble and to fall. And yet, because David kept the Word of God as his focus, he found the wisdom to overcome those enemies and to have victory over them. We need to understand that when it comes to wisdom, all true wisdom comes from the Word of God. All true wisdom comes from the Word of God. That's why a fellow by the name of Jacob Skirman, he was the third president of Cornell University in America. The third president. He lived from 1892 to, or he was president rather, from 1892 to 1920. And the president of this university, here's what he said, very interesting quote. He said, "The Bible is the most valuable document in English literature. No man..." Now, this is an educator who is talking, okay? This isn't a preacher, okay? This is an educator. He's the president of a university. And here's what he said. He said, "No man can be called an educated man. No man can be called an educated man, or can be called, can be called an uneducated man who knows his Bible. And no man can be called an educated man who does not know his Bible." Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Theodore Roosevelt, who was the 26th president of the U.S., he said this. He said, "A thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education." And as far as I know, there's no record of Theodore Roosevelt having a testimony of salvation, and yet even he, as an unsaved man, saw the value of God's Word. Interesting. Because of David's relationship with the Word of God, while his enemies were consistently making foolish and bad choices in their lives that led to misery and led to suffering, David was rewarded with a life that was constantly marked by the evidence of godly wisdom. How do we know if we have godly wisdom or not? What is the evidence of godly wisdom? The evidence of godly wisdom is simply when we are consistently making good and right choices in our life. That's the evidence of wisdom. But when we're making choices that lead to good things and that lead to blessing, instead of making choices that lead to shame and hurt and disappointment, when we're making the choices that lead to good things, then that's a life that is marked by wisdom. That's a wise life. Consistently making good choices. But now notice the reward of wisdom. This reward of wisdom that David had received, he received it because of a second thing. And that is, letter B, it came because of his understanding. Understanding. You see, this thing of understanding and wisdom, they're linked together. They're linked together. Leave your finger here in Psalm 119. Turn back to Job 28. The book of Job and chapter 28 and verse number 28. The Bible says this. It says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You see, the fear of the Lord is a wise thing that is learned. The fear of God is not something that is natural for us. The fear of God is not something that it's not a spiritual gift that you receive when you trust Christ as your Savior. The fear of God is something that is learned. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, and verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is something that is learned as we listen to the Word of God. That's where the fear of God comes from. It comes from hearing God's Word. That's where we find the fear of the Lord. And the knowledge that we gain as we learn the fear of the Lord, that knowledge then results in an understanding that is revealed by our obedience to what God has said. That's why we saw back in Psalm 111. In Psalm 111, verse 10, you remember David said this. He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's where it starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But he didn't stop there. He said, "A good understanding have all they that do," or "they that obey his commandments." The understanding. That understanding that causes men, as they learn the fear of God, they then have an understanding that causes them to turn away from sin, to turn away from the wicked way, and because of their understanding, then they begin to develop a life that is truly wise. They begin to develop a life of true wisdom because of their understanding. They now have a life, just like I said a minute ago, they have a life that is marked by a consistent making of right choices. It's all tied together. It's all tied together. Now with that in mind, notice two comparisons that David is going to make. Two comparisons David is going to make. First of all, he tells us that he understands more than his teachers. I remember when I was in high school, I thought I understood more than my teachers. I thought my teachers were the dumbest people that God ever created. I thought, I know better than, you know. Of course, it's amazing as you get older how smart your teachers become. But David said, "I know more than my teachers. I have more understanding than my teachers." Notice at verse number 99, I have more understanding, David said. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Have more understanding, all my teachers. Of course, all of us know of teachers. All of us know of teachers who are extremely intelligent in the eyes of the world. They're extremely intelligent in the eyes of the world. They've studied, they've learned many of the great philosophies. They've studied and they learned many of the great things about how to have a full and how to have a meaningful life. And so because of the fact that they have studied all of these great writers from antiquity, because they have these degrees from these impressive universities and institutes of higher learning, they somehow feel that they are qualified to tell us how we ought to live, to tell us what our priorities ought to be, and where our values should lie. But their instruction, may I say it with all due respect, because I know we have some teachers here this morning, but may I say with all due respect that if their instruction and if their teaching does not line up with the Word of God, it is not worth having. It's not worth having. Why? Because all of it is based on humanistic wisdom. It's all based on a humanistic logic. It's all based on a humanistic way of reasoning that ultimately will lead men into a sinful rebellion against God, which will result in God's judgment coming upon them instead of God's blessing. And so David declared that because of his relationship with the Word of God, he had more understanding than his teachers. He had more understanding than all the experts of the world who were trying to tell him how to live and what he ought to do. And it was not because David arrogantly thought he was smarter than them. That's not it at all. It wasn't an attitude of pride that David was demonstrating here. Rather, the reason is very simply stated for us, the last part of verse number 99. He says, I have more understanding than my teachers, and here's why. It's because thy testimonies are my meditation. In other words, I meditate, I fill my mind, I fill my heart with the Word of God. And when these other people give me their thinking and their ideas and what they see as being important in life, and I compare that to what the eternal God says is important for life, then I determine I'm going to follow God instead of following men. And therefore I find that I have more understanding than my teachers do. Because my teachers are only looking at the present. But through God's Word, I'm able to see the present and the eternal hereafter, which will come. Said I have more understanding than my teachers. Number two, he also says that he understands more than his elders. More than his elders. Verse number 100, he says it this way. He says, I understand more than the ancients. The ancients. The Hebrew word that is translated here, ancients, it is first used way back in the book of Genesis. To understand what the word actually means, let's go back and look at Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 11. The Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah were old. The word there, it's the same Hebrew word that is translated ancients in our text. Since they're not here this morning, we could say the ancients are Pastor and Mrs. Moore. Don't tell them I said that. By the way, I need to erase this tape too. But anyway, we could say they're the ancients, right? They're old. They're old. In other words, David was simply saying here when he said, I have more understanding than the ancients. I have more understanding than those who are old. I have more understanding than my, if we could bring it down to that, than my ancestors. I have more understanding than them. You see, we need to understand this morning that old does not equal wise. You've heard the saying, there's no fool like an old fool? Yeah. And it's true. Old does not necessarily equal wise. And the reason is because of the fact that many times, as men become older, they begin to replace God's truth with man-made traditions. They begin to replace God's truth with man-made superstitions. And men, as they get older, they instead of following God's Word, they follow man's thinking. In other words, people act and they think the way their ancestors did. I have a had a neighbor when we lived on Hillside Drive. And it was this time of the year, hungry ghost time. And he was doing his thing out by the sidewalk there on Hillside Drive, and I was walking by, and so I had talked with him before. I knew who he was. He knew who I was. So I stopped, and we were chatting together while he was burning his stuff. And I asked him. I said, "Can I ask you a kind of a personal question?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you really believe what you're doing here? Do you really believe that, you know, that what you're burning here is actually going into the other world and it's going to help your ancestors or whatever? Do you really believe that?" And he just kind of hung his head. And he said, "No." He said, "But I do it for my mom. Because she's watching. And she wants me to do this in honor of my father, who is deceased. And so for her sake, even though I don't believe it, I do it." See, that's the way people think. That's the way people think. And so David said that he had more understanding than his elders. Had more understanding than his elders. Thomas Manton, I think, said it very well when he said, "Understanding gotten by the precepts of the Word is better than understanding gotten by long experience." Understanding that comes from the Word of God is far superior to any understanding that comes from a long experience or from a long tradition that is passed down from generation to generation. David said he had more understanding than his ancestors. And again, it was not arrogant pride that was speaking here. It was not an arrogant pride. David realized that his superior understanding was based simply on the fact, notice verse 11, I keep. That means I obey, I observe, I follow. I keep thy precepts. I keep thy precepts. That's why I have more understanding than my ancestors. That's why I have more understanding than my teachers. Because I follow the Word of God. I follow the Word of God. And because of his superior wisdom, because of his superior understanding that came from learning and obeying God's Word, David goes on to say in verse number 101, verse 102, "I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments." Notice again here. Notice again, David's life was a life of obedience. Because instead of listening to the so-called wisdom of teachers, instead of following the traditions of his elders, David meditated on the Word of God and he obeyed it completely. But there's something else that is seen here. Notice the last part of verse number 102. "For thou hast taught me." Who is the thou? Who is that? It's talking about God. Talking about God. In other words, David lived right. And David was doing right. And David had a wisdom and an understanding that was superior to others simply because of the fact it was God Himself who was teaching David through His Word how to live instead of following after the teachings of fallible men. That's where the source of true wisdom, that's where the source of true understanding comes from. Not only did he receive wisdom and understanding, but notice letter C, he also received satisfaction. The blessing that came from his relationship with the Word of God was the blessing of satisfaction. In verse number 103, David said, "How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I'll confess to you this morning that I love chocolate chip cookies. In fact, I've really missed my wife while she's been away in the States, and I miss her being around, but you know what I really miss? I'm not going to tell you because you'll tell on me. I miss chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, I know you can buy them in the store, you know, Famous Amos and all that, but you know what? That's cheap junk compared to what Ginger makes. I love chocolate chip cookies. In fact, the only thing I love better than a good chocolate chip cookie is two of them. One in each hand. Right? I love chocolate chip cookies. But you know what I've observed? I've observed that when I'm sick, even chocolate chip cookies don't taste good. Have you noticed that? Something you truly love to eat, and yet when you're sick, it just, you know. No appetite for it. Don't really want it. Why? Well, you're sick. That's why. You're sick. And so therefore, you don't have the taste. You don't have the desire. And in the spiritual sense, same thing is true. In the spiritual sense. You see, the Word of God should be sweet to our taste. That's what David said. The Word of God should be sweet to our taste. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah, he said the very same thing. Listen to it. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah the prophet said this. He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." That doesn't mean he literally, but he mentally, he was feeding himself on the Word of God. And he said, "I found thy words, I did eat them," notice it, "and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." You see, Jeremiah, when he feasted on the Word of God, just like David, he found God's Word was sweet to his taste. But notice it. The reason why it was sweet to his taste was because of his relationship with God. Did you notice that there in Jeremiah? It's because of his relationship with God that God's Word was sweet to his taste. That it was to be desired. Bottom line, as believers in Jesus Christ, if God's Word is not the delight of our heart, if God's Word is not something that we find sweet to our taste, then there's something wrong with our relationship. Or, to put it in another way, we are spiritually sick. And it has affected our sense of spiritual taste. See, when we allow sin to come into our life, when we allow sin to reign in our life, first thing that's going to happen is we lose our taste for God's Word. Have you noticed that to be true? Don't sit there and look at me so pious. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Those times when we've sinned and we know we've sinned and then we say, "Well, I'm going to read God's Word." Well, you know, it's just not the same, is it? Just not the same. Why? Because our relationship with God's not what it ought to be. Our relationship with God's not what it ought to be. Therefore, our spiritual taste is not what it ought to be. And therefore, we don't find the Word of God sweet to our taste like we did before. Because of David's relationship with the Lord, because of his desire to walk in obedience to God's Word, because of his determination to fill his heart, his mind with the Word of God and to meditate upon it. David found that God's Word was sweet. It was satisfying to his taste. And it totally sustained him. Totally satisfied him during the times of storm, during the times of trial that came into his life. As David brings this stanza to a conclusion, I want you to notice that he declares two things here. First of all, he declares his discovery. It's found in verse 104. He said, "Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Through thy precepts, I get understanding." In other words, through thy precepts, through thy word, I find the key to a victorious, holy life. That's what I've discovered. It doesn't come from me trying to do better. It doesn't come from me doing religious things. It doesn't come from me going through all these other things that people say I have to do in order to be holy, in order to be right before. No, it's just through God's Word. That's where I find it. It's through God's Word. I get the understanding that I need to have a life that is clean and pure and holy and victorious. That was his discovery. And then notice number two. He concludes this stanza by stating his choice. His choice. Verse number 104. Therefore. Now anytime you see the word therefore, you need to remember what it's there for. Okay? What's it there? Well, he's going back to what he just said. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, because of that, I endure. No. I sort of dislike. No. I feel a little uncomfortable with. No. I hate every false way. I hate it. In other words, every way that is contrary to God's way. Every way that is different from the way God says that I ought to go. From the way God says I ought to think. From the way God says I ought to live. Every way that is different from God's way, David said, I hate it. I hate it. That was his choice. Now it's our turn. Do we have a knowledge of the fear of God that results in a spiritual understanding that will cause us to turn away from sin and will bring us to a life that is truly wise, where we are consistently making right choices that honor and glorify God? We can have that. We can have that. But if we're going to have it, we have to understand that it begins with our relationship with God and our devotion and our determination to follow His Word. The Word of God should be our life, like it was for David. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning.